and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 155. My name is Chris Fricchio, and I am here with Travis Baum.
What's up?
And we don't have a Jeff Chorney today. He was trying to get some recording equipment replaced, and apparently that shit didn't work out so well. So for the first time ever, we are bringing on Mr. Nico Kusanagi. How you doing, Nico?
And it's Rhodey.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
This is a long time coming, man. We've been trying to get you on the show for a while.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had quite the scheduling conflict.
Yeah, you and that whole working thing.
You know, you guys all work during the day. I like to work during the night.
Freaking insomniacs. Tell you what. Cool. Well, today we are talking about, what are we talking about? Like shit that companies do that make us not want to buy their games, something like that?
They just tee us off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before that, we're going to do some distractions. We're going to forego news because nothing really interesting happened this week. Afterwards, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week, maybe. We'll see. But before that, we're going to go around the table. Nico, you're here as a guest. Why don't you start out? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been kind of a crazy week. I'm in the process of switching jobs right now.
Nice.
So I finished up at my old job on Wednesday.
And gave him the finger on the way out.
In the form
of a professional letter, right?
Yes. Yes. In the form of a professional letter.
This is my formal fuck you.
Well, it was pretty much a list of many fuck
reasons
yous.
That you're leaving.
Yeah. I decided to do it in the form of a thank you letter. So I thanked him for his retardation.
I thank you for doing all of this crap to make me realize that I wanted to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty much how I closed the letter. Thank you for motivating me to go somewhere else.
Wow.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting Monday for him for sure.
Thank you, guys.
But anyway, I start the new job on Monday, so that's pretty exciting. I'm kind of nervous because, you know, I was at the old job for quite a few years. So it'll be, you know, new change of environment and everything. So a little nerve-wracking. Other than that, just, you know, good old Thanksgiving goodness. Ass, you know. It was a late dinner, though. It was very late. We didn't eat till probably close to midnight.
You guys kept it an intimate affair, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was just
not in
me
a sexy, not in a sexy way. Just the two of you.
Well, I don't know how you can bring a turkey into that, but maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
I'm sure that there could
you,
be ways.
You didn't listen to turducken in the butt. You didn't hear that? Apparently, it does.
I heard turducken in the butt. It just didn't come to
apparently
mind.
Apparently, it
I had
does get quite sexy. So.
Oh, really?
Only okay. In your book, Travis. Only in
I
your
guess.
Book.
What are we talking about? Jesus Christ.
I have no idea. Yeah. Travis, how are you doing, buddy?
Oh, my God. 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 We got a new puppy. What?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I'm still kind of in shock that you guys got a new puppy.
Yeah, I am too.
So tell me how that's going for you.
Okay, well, let me tell you how it started. We're at Thanksgiving yesterday. Happy Black Friday. By the way, guys, happy Black Friday. Now it's Thanksgiving.
I had to work.
And oh, really? Well, I did too.
Yeah.
So what am I saying oh really for? Anyway, just making conversation. It's Thanksgiving Day and we're over at my sister-in-law's. And this dog walks up in their back patio, little, you know, gotta be 5 or 6 weeks old, little puppy, you know, first impression it's a German Shepherd because of the color, but it looks like it has like a little mix of a Rottweiler in it. Robbie from the Twitters, he had kind of like, you know, he's big on dogs, so he kind of let me know, you know, kind of what the dog may be, but we're going to take it to the vet and find out for sure, but her sister was like, yeah, the dog.
It looks Shepherd to me.
It does look very Shepherd. But the her sister was like, you know, this dog's been, you know, hanging around for the last 2 days. I don't think it has a home. And we were looking. The dog didn't look malnourished. It looked well fed, but there were no tags, no collar, nothing to signify that it does have an owner and the dog's just lost. So it got to the point where 4 or 5 hours into it, Megatron was just like, so guilty. She's like, I cannot leave this dog laying around. She's like, I can't do it. So she pulled me to the side and like, Travis, what do we have to do to take this dog home?
Oh my gosh. So this is actually Megan's idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It was her thing.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that it was in the back of my mind too. Like, man, I can't see because it was cold where we were last night, and it was like that dog is by itself. It's the cutest thing. It's, you know what? Yes, let's take it. So while we were watching the Saints game, which the Saints won, by the way, barely. So while we're watching the game, Megan and her sisters went and got the dog crates and everything, and they brought back all the tools we needed to start training her and getting to the getting everything set up for her. So yeah, we got a new dog. She's adorable. A whole different dog than Bella.
Why is that?
Well, she's a lot calmer. Like, she's eons more passive. She doesn't even chase cats. Like, she'll just look at a cat and be like, meh, and turn away. Like, doesn't even care. But she likes her space. Bella comes in for a sniff and she's like, oh, does a little thing. So but it's fun. But this isn't the dog podcast. That was just the biggest thing that's happened this week so far. A new addition to the family, since kids are not on our radar at the moment. We have we have children vicariously through our two dogs and two cats. So
that's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, but yeah, whatever. It's good. Chris, what is up with my homie?
Oh, shit. I'm going to vent to you guys right now, and I apologize, but I need to get this out of my system before we actually get into the good portion of the podcast.
Are you tired of the baby already?
No, dude. This entire month, ever since Indisfest was like the high peak of this month. It's been shooting straight downhill ever since then. Mm. My aunt is in the hospital, and it's not looking good right now. And this is my mom's last sibling, so she's taking it very hard. Many of the listeners know my father passed away when I was very young. Mm-hmm. This is my aunt Norma, who pretty much helped raise me with my mom, and I'm very, very close with her, so it's been really rough as far as that's concerned. I talked about my car last week. This past week, I went on vacation, had a great vacation, went away to Virginia Beach, went and visited some of Crystal's friends.
Nice.
Wednesday at about noon, I go to check in for our flights out that are that evening, only to find out that somehow there was a mix-up and my tickets were actually booked for the day before. I'm sitting there on Wednesday at noon finding out that my tickets were Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Now I'm rushing to figure out what I can do to get on a plane. And I called Delta and they're like, oh, for $200-something a ticket, you can get moved to this. I'm like, I'm looking at the tickets online. They're $149 per seat. And, while I'm sitting there looking at it, that $149 within like 10 minutes went up to $300-something.
Whoa.
So, that's a bunch of crap that I don't understand. It's like fucking airlines can't get their pricing straight. Just pick a price and let it be that price. It drives me nuts trying to buy plane tickets. So I end up getting a ticket for 7 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving Day yesterday. I have to extend the rent. Well, as I booked the flight on Orbitz, I also booked my rental car. So also I found out that my rental car was due back the day before. So I had to call them up and extend my rental 2 days. And then I had to get the hotel again for another night. So $400 later, I'm coming home on a flight at 7 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day with my son cranky as shit because we woke his ass up at 4:30 in the morning. So,
wow,
it was just a shitty end to a great vacation. I mean, at least the vacation was fun.
Right.
It's just so much of a pain in the ass putting up with all that crap. But, besides that, we tried to put it behind us last night. We went out and had dinner with my mom and my cousin and my goddaughter and her little sister. We had a nice, quiet dinner. We actually went out instead of actually having something at home for Thanksgiving. And then today I did have to work, but after work we went to my in-laws and we had another nice dinner. So we had kind of two Thanksgivings. So that was, that's bringing it back to an upbeat, we had a good time doing that. It's just been really rough. So, the unexpected expenses are totaling over close to $2,000 this month, and it's really kicking me in the ass. So I'm sitting back trying to make sure that we can make it through the rest of this year and start fresh in January. So That's enough of my downer shit.
You know what you need? You know what you need?
I can't take it. I need a vent, though.
No, you know what you really need?
I need a fucking drink.
No, you need to write you a couple of thank you letters. That's what you need to do. Thank all you motherfuckers for...
I'll get really drunk, so I say motherfucker more often, right?
Yeah, there you go. Get drunk, say motherfucker a lot, and write you some thank you letters.
You motherfuckers right there. Oh shit! All right, cool. Well, let's move on. Let's get into the show. Let's talk about some games. So, Nico, you are first because you are our guest.
All right. Well, I'm actually kind of playing a lot of games that are to be considered quite old by now. The main game on my list right now is Fallout 3.
Ooh.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we're always down for talking about Fallout 3.
Yeah, we call that a throwback right there.
Yeah, that's what I figured. This is actually the second version of Fallout 3 that I've
picked
up. Game of
the year?
Yes, Game of the Year edition.
Right.
Last year I picked it up for the PlayStation 3, but as some of you may know, I'm having a lot of troubles with my PlayStation right now.
As in you don't have one? At the moment?
Well, it's fighting the yellow light.
Okay.
And I'm doing my best to try and repair it myself so that I don't, you know, give Sony a ton of money for shit that they're not even fixing correctly.
Right.
So I'm doing it myself. I think I'm on my third or fourth attempt of fixing it. Whereas the first few attempts, it did work, but it still ended up getting the yellow light at a later time. So I've got it repaired now to the point where it'll function properly. I did a backup, and I'm just kind of waiting on a time to be able to trade it in and get a slim. But in the meantime, I'm, you know, trying not to use it at all. Luckily, you know, my lovely other half is letting me use her PlayStation in the meantime. So, you know, I am playing some games on it, but... As I said, I'm trying to avoid playing many PlayStation games right now. So what I did is I double dipped a few weeks ago on Fallout 3 Game of the Year and got it for the 360. And so now I've been playing it quite heavily on the 360. This may actually cause it to red ring. I'm not sure.
It might. It might.
But
you need to come to my house and make mine red ring. I'm still working on that shit.
Oh, okay. And then I will write a thank you letter to Microsoft.
There you go.
Thank you.
Exactly. But I'm about 20 hours in on Fallout 3 now. This is the farthest I've finally gotten to.
Now, and the Game of the Year includes all of the DLC, right? All five of the DLC packs?
Yeah.
Does it, when you look at like your achievement list, does it actually say, you know, X out of 1550?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, good.
It actually works a little differently between the two versions because the PlayStation 3 version has all the DLC on the disc, and the 360 version comes with just regular vanilla Fallout 3 and then a second disc for you to access all the DLC.
Hmm.
So it's like you're downloading it off the marketplace.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
So I found that to be kind of interesting.
It is a little odd, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though, you know, space on disc.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, exactly. But I haven't touched any of the DLC because that actually was what got me to kind of stop playing it before, because I got on the Mothership Zeta portion, I was bored to tears. I mean, it was such a struggle to try and walk through that damn space.
Well, it started off, for me, Mothership Zeta started out really, really strong. Because you know you're in a cell and you have nothing, and your first couple of aliens that you come into contact with, you know, you're having a fist fight them while they have like, you know, laser rifles. So it seems like, you know, at first you're like, okay, this is going to be a little Metal Gear Solid esque, and all weapons are going to be like, you know, received on site, like whatever you pick up, that's your weapons. And then right after that, you step out of room, you go down the hallway, and then boom, you get your entire backpack back with all your stuff. And by that time in the game, I was completely overpowered. So, I had a suit that made me invisible. I had the alien blaster. You know, I was untouchable. So,
Mothership Zeta was the last one that I did. It was the last thing I did in Fallout 3. So, I was in the same boat. I was overpowered like crazy. But I still thought it was fun, man. Some of the energy weapons that I got in that shit was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. I mean, the weapons themselves were really cool. It was by the the point that you interact with all those other people from various points of time throughout the world's history.
And yeah. That's the samurai.
That's kind of where I start to, where I started to lose focus on it.
Oh, I see. I can see that.
And then, you know, other games are coming out, and I just ended up getting distracted, and it just sat on my shelf for the longest time. So what I'm doing now is I'm just kind of going through the main story, the main quests, all that. This time I've also got the two sidekicks. I've got both Dogmeat and Fox following me around. So
dude, Fox is nuts.
Yeah. I mean, she is beast, pretty much untouchable. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome having two people, well, I guess a mutant and a dog following you around, because you pretty much don't have to do anything. You just, all you got to do is just make sure that the enemy's attacking you and then just kick back and watch them take them out. It's great. Which is probably why I'm waiting to do the DLC till probably the very end, because they're, from what I hear, they're not able to go with you. You have to do it all solo by yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of saving that towards the end. Other games I've been playing, I finally started getting back into Street Fighter recently. So, you know, I know we won't talk about it too much, but
true.
Absolutely. Super Street Fighter 4 Truth, and also Super Meat Boy Truth. I've been playing some of that too. Amy apparently loves watching me play that because she loves to hear me curse constantly. I don't understand what that's all about, but she likes it. She likes
to laugh at you.
That's I like to think of it as laughing with me, but
you're cursing, it doesn't work that way.
She just keeps watching the screen, just watching it recycle over and over again, and every time, you know, she just hears fuck, damn it, fuck, shit, fuck, you know, and it just keeps going on like that, and she gets the giggles from it. But yeah, so been playing those two games. Played a little bit of 3D Dot Game Heroes. Actually may restart that, meaning start a brand new game, because I'm gonna try my best to maybe platinum it, that's gonna require me to actually start over, because one of the trophies that you need to get is to play through the entire game without being hit.
Wait, what?
Or is it without dying? It's one of those two.
Yeah,
it's
probably without dying.
I think it's without dying.
There's no
way.
That's
a little extreme.
Yeah, but there actually is a mode in there called From Mode. I know, Chris, you finished the game, and did you try it?
I didn't finish the game, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got really far in it, but I didn't finish it.
Giving this man too much credit.
Well, you know.
Kids got in my way, man.
Well, there is a mode that you unlock when you finish the game called From Mode, and it's basically, you know, because it's From Software, and everyone knows, you know, the fame of Demon Souls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it now. No, I'm
yeah,
just
From Mode is ultra hard.
Yeah,
and that basically means that any enemy, even those stupid little rabbits on the screen, are one hit kill for you.
Oof.
So. Yeah, have fun with that.
So it's pretty much beat the game without getting hit.
Exactly.
Well, to finish From Mode, yes. But I think the other trophy I was speaking of earlier is actually just to
without dying.
Get through the game without dying. Yeah, so that means that if you do fall in the game, you actually have to go reload your save, so that, you know, because selecting continue or any of that stuff will discredit the trophy to get.
Right.
So I think I'm going to give that a shot and see how it goes. But, you know, I've got, like I said, I've got Fallout, Street Fighter, Super Meat Boy, all that other stuff.
You realize if you're going to platinum this, you have to clear the game in From Mode as well.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's funky.
I may give that a shot. That probably would be a trophy that I go for much, much later on. You know, maybe when
Nico, real talk, buddy. Too many games to play, man. Beat the game and move on.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm working on a game from 2 years ago. So
that's
to show.
It's not 2 years ago. It's last year.
Well,
you're talking about Fallout 3.
I was referring to Fallout. Yeah, sorry. Okay. But
I'm with you now.
Overall, yes, way too many games to play. So we'll just leave it at that. So, that yeah, that's all I've been playing much recently.
Cool. Travis, take it away, man. What do you got?
You know, normal badass COD bops. My Black Ops is, it's, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I am, I don't know if the game.
I don't know what it is either, buddy. I really don't.
I don't know if it's, thank you, dude. Thank you. I don't know if it's, if the game just, I guess, online plays differently when you're playing competitively. But I remember maybe 20, 30 episodes ago when we were doing the whole mandatory Modern Warfare thing, that I made the comment that I'm just not that good at this game. Apparently, I'm good at this game. So whenever people are saying that, oh, it's the same thing, I tell them no, because I'm actually good at this one. So something's different. It's not me. It's just something is not right. Like, I had maybe like a 0.89 kill-death ratio. And like, I don't know, 900 kills and then, you know, 1,300 deaths. Like, it was just nasty. It was not good at all. But in this game, I've got like a 1.1 kill-death ratio, and I'm just mauling bitches. I don't know what the thing. Well, Chris, I'm conquering people. You like that? I'm conquering bitches. So I'm enjoying it a lot more. I think I'm at level 32 on my quest to finally prestige in a Call of Duty game. Because believe it or not, I've never done that. Never done it yet. As much as I played, so about 15 hours into that, level 31, 32-ish, working hard. And Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I thought I was going to be late recording the show today because I was trying to beat it real fast. And, yeah, I finished it up. OMG. I don't know where they're going to go with Assassin's Creed 3.
So, tell me more about Brotherhood. I mean, I know last week we talked about it a little bit.
A little bit,
yeah. You were saying that it was, you know, it was a single-player experience and this kind of thing. But where does it fall, like, with the storyline the way it is? This is like another story with Ezio, right?
Yeah, it completely continues the story. At first, there's a huge focus on Desmond.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Ezio first, actually, before we get to Desmond and Lucy. With Ezio, the game starts off exactly where the last one ended.
Okay.
Let's just say you're in a vault of sorts. You're leaving that vault once the game begins. So it's like, boom, game's over, let's start the new one. And then it continues the story. He goes back to his villa, and all his villa that you created, which was kind of hard for me to... I don't really like how... I like how it was done. I just don't like the fact that they did this, but the villa that you spent 50, 60 hours building up an amazing
money.
Tell
me it's torn down, basically.
They pretty much destroy it.
Oh,
and that's how you get Metroided in the process. Not a spoiler. They actually, in early previews, they show that stuff off. And that's how they Metroid you. And that's why you go to Rome. And Rome ends up being your villa in this game. You know, so you're buying properties. You're rebuilt. You're purchasing landmarks like the Colosseum and the Pantheon. And, you're rebuilding the water aqueducts, which is really cool because it shows like it's like the turn of the almost the beginning of the industrial era. Like they're starting to use like these, you know, sort of modern techniques, you know, to like, you know, like aqueducts and whatnot. They're putting use like scaffolding. It's really neat. And then you have the part with Desmond, which is really neat in this game, because in past games, you get to a certain point in the storyline, you know, in the past while you're inside the Animus, and then you get these breaks in the story while, you know, and you get to walk around as Desmond and do a little stuff, and then boom, you're right back into, you know, the past. In this game, you can actually get out of the Animus at any time you want and roam around the villa, because Lucy and Desmond and the whole team, you're actually posted up in the villa, like in present day in the villa, or should I say in the future, because it's 2012. So you're actually in the villa in the entire game inside the Animus, because you're in the crypt that Ezio had gotten Altair's suit, if anyone's familiar with that. So that's a nice little throwback, and you can, you know, run outside in the villa and jump find collectibles and jump around the buildings as Desmond. And it's more modern there. There's electricity and there's cars, which is really neat because, of course, that wasn't there when you were playing around as Ezio. So that's really cool. And the story kind of definitely bridges that gap and, you know, between 2 and 3. And I think it does rather well, because the one thing I I was starting to not like the end. Because there comes
Brotherhood or part two
of Brotherhood. Okay. There came a point in time where Ezio's story stops, but you need to finish the game. And at first I was like, is this what Assassin's Creed 3 is going to be? And I wasn't really digging it. And then you go somewhere else at the very, very end of the game. And I was like, thank you, God. This is where Assassin's Creed 3 is going to go. So hopefully people who have beaten the game or eventually do beat it will kind of see where I'm coming from, because now I'm completely psyched. I almost have no doubt that Assassin's Creed 3 has got to be Desmond and Desmond only. But I don't know how they're going to do that, because the way Ubisoft gets away with this game being gamey is saying that, you know, putting a lot of stuff inside the fiction, like, you know, you'll see stuff, you know, people be highlighted, you know, and they'll be like, you'll have like this artifact thing around their body to know that they're, but it's just the Animus doing that, and having your heads up display. It's the Animus that's doing that. You know, when the little boxes pop up and say, hey, read up about this guy. Well, that's the guy talking to you through the Animus. It's all in the fiction. So whereas I feel that Assassin's Creed 3, the next evolution of the series would be Desmond's story. It's just nothing but Desmond and running around through modern day ruins or modern day cityscapes or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, but there, at that point you shouldn't really have a heads up display.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can't put that Anima stuff in there. So now I'm going back and forth. Okay, well maybe it's going to be split.
They'll give him some sort of like headgear or something like that, or
maybe, yeah, like a portable Animus or something like that. I'm not sure.
Like an Animus viewer or something like that.
Yeah, they put this on you in the game, because when you're Desmond, you know, when you press select as Ezio, you get the map, you get all this information, you get tons of information. You can go through the DNA menu and just see all the things you can do. You can go back to missions, all that stuff. Well, when you're Desmond, there's no locking on the people. There's no pause menu. There is nothing. It's just a blank. It's just an open screen of just you and whatever you're in. So there's they are very, very cognizant of the fact that, okay, when you're Desmond, you don't have all this cool stuff to help you out roam around. So toward the end, when you're going through this maze-like area, it's a little tougher than what you're used to in the game when you have a map and a complete heads-up display and markers telling you where to go.
Right.
So I'm curious of where they're going to go with that. I'm very, very curious. And I got to say, I'm a little nervous with Patrice Desilets gone, because he's kind of like the main story guy. He writes the outline, says this is where the story is going. So I'm hoping and praying that he kind of has the outline all done for Assassin's Creed 3 before he, you know, left Ubisoft, you know, whole. So I'm kind of hoping there. But overall, really, really love this game. You know, Assassin's Creed 2 was my game of the year last year. It'll 100% be a contender. It'll be in my top 5 this year. All, you know, game of the year joking aside, no doubt about it, it will be in my my top 5. And I'm 28 hours into the game. I beat it finally. And now I'm going to go back and, you know, try to, you know, mop up all the stuff that I left over. Okay, cool. A lot of cool stuff. Chris, lay it on me, dude.
Oh, is it my turn?
Maybe.
All right, so let's go through a couple of quick things. I play more Valkyria Chronicles 2. The only thing I'm going to say about that right now is that if you guys are playing this game, there's a huge twist at the end of August, and the August story mission sucks. I think I ran it like 6 times before I finally beat it. Still loving the shit out of it, though. But escort missions suck. Fuck you, escort missions. All right. Play some more Phantasy Star Portable 2. I popped in Knights in the Nightmare for a little bit. Very cool concept. It's like a tactical RPG, you know, and I tried to figure out how they were going to do this, but everyone's been saying it's like a tactical RPG mixed with like a bullet hell shmup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how does that work? And when I finally got down to playing it, it's pretty cool because you don't actually control the characters, right? You control this little wisp, and the wisp is dodging bullets shot by the enemies. and you basically you go to the wisp and you hit X on top of the warrior that you want to attack, and you can like change the direction, and you can, you know, point them where they want to attack, and you can equip weapons to them and stuff like that, and do special moves and stuff like that. I've only done a couple missions in it, but it's really, really interesting the way it works. So if you're into tactical RPGs and you like shmups, this may be a very cool purchase for you. So I'm going to say that. Play some more Enslaved. I think I'm on chapter 6 now. Really liking it still. Combat is getting really shallow because it seems like all the enemies are just attack 3 times. So you block. It's block, 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 stun attack, and then just beat the shit out of them, and that's it. And I'm hoping it gets to be more than that.
It kind of doesn't. There are a couple.
Some of the bosses are really cool. Like, I fought the dog.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you fight the dogs a few times.
Do you? Yeah, I fought the dog, my first dog, I think at the end of Chapter 5, when you first get the cloud and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, that was a cool fight. So I actually like that a lot. Absolutely. And I like the ones where you do, like, takedowns, like some of the turrets, and you go and do a takedown, and you actually get to use the turret and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, that's real fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool shit. So now I'm going to talk a little bit more about the next couple of games. While I was in Virginia Beach, I got to play a little bit of a Kirby Epic Yarn.
Ooh,
I don't know if we've talked about this yet.
No, we have not.
So the visual style of this game is as good as you think it is.
Right.
That's what I'm going to say about it, because it is just, it's so dynamic and just everything is done so smoothly. Mm-hmm. Like the transitions between the animations of like what Kirby turns into and things like that. And
yeah,
like when Kirby dashes, he turns into a little truck and he's like driving.
That's hot.
and it's like, and they have different stages where he'll go through like this portal and turn into something else. I started one of, Crystal's friend's games, Stephanie. I started one of her games. She said it was like she had basically gone through the first boss. So she had already done that. So I started playing some of the later levels. And one of the stages, I jumped into this portal and popped out as a fire truck. And I'm driving along as a fire truck, and you can, like, while I'm playing it, and you play it with the controller sideways, right? It's not very waggle. It's all, you know, old school, like, Nintendo controller.
Nice.
However, when you're the fire truck, you can use, like, you can tilt the controller left and right to control the hose on the top of the fire truck. So you're spraying down, like, enemies that are, like, fire-based enemies with the water from the fire truck. You know, just really simple but creative shit like that. And it was really interesting the way they did it. And they have race levels where he basically morphs into like a race car.
Right.
And you like go, jump through ramps and stuff like that. And then, you know, besides that, it's your traditional, Kirby. But what's different about it is instead of like trying to like eat enemies to gain abilities, he shoots out this yarn and he can basically grab enemies and throw them at people, or like throw them at any other enemies. So I actually got to fight the second boss, which is this large phoenix, and you know, the phoenix is shooting fire at you and shit like that, and you can, and then it shoots like these fire-based enemies at you, and you can grab one of them and throw it at the phoenix, and he loses his fire, and you can go up and hit him.
Right.
So, just very creative. The only issue that I have is it was kind of easy. Because it's like, you know, I picked it up for the first time, and I was actually starting on like the second or third world. Mm-hmm. And I didn't die once, you know. But I think I can kind of understand that, because, you know, it's a Kirby game, and Nintendo is like all for the kids right now. But
yeah, but apparently those there's some challenge levels, or there's some extra collectibles that are in going for those. Game gets really tough.
There are collectibles on each stage, and there's I'm not sure if there's more than this, but each stage has three collectibles to grab.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grab them all, then... well, first, let me say this. There's also gems to collect. And based on the number of the gems that you finish the stage with, you'll get like a bronze, silver, or gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as you're not getting hit, if you get hit, you drop some of them. It's like Sonic.
Right.
Some of them drop out. But you don't go down to zero. But when you drop them out, you can collect them again. Plus that, if you get all of the collectibles, the three collectibles on each stage, you get additional gems and you get higher scores at the end of each stage. So there's kind of a score chase in there too. So I'm not sure how much I would play it for that, but you know, if you're into that kind of thing, it's there for you too. But yeah, I thought of what I played was kind of easy. I have no doubt that it does get more challenging, but I just don't see the game being that difficult.
Yeah.
So, but fun as shit, and I do want to pick it up now. So, Epic Yarn definitely is a thumbs up for me.
Right on, man.
The last game I'm going to talk about is actually a gift from Mr. Repeat.
When
he was in town for Indus Fest, he gave me Etrian Odyssey 3. And I didn't get Sheeran the Wanderer because I already had Sheeran the Wanderer. But so Etrian Odyssey 3 is a very old school dungeon crawling game. When I say old school, I'm talking about, did you ever play like Shining in the Darkness for the Genesis?
Yeah.
That's what this is like.
Oh.
So there's a dungeon, or well, they call it a labyrinth, and that's where everything happens.
It's good.
Right. That's where everything happens. And then there, if you leave the labyrinth, you go back to town, and that's it. So there's a town, and there's a labyrinth, and you just go back and forth between the two. The labyrinth has several floors, and, you know, the enemies get harder as you go down the floors. And, you know, it's a typical dungeon crawling, you know, turn-based RPG, right? Where this game is shining for me right now is everything is first person, right? So you you're going through the dungeons in first person. So it's just like Shining in the Darkness, or like the people who have played the original Phantasy Star on the Master System, when you went into the dungeons, it was all like first person. That is where this game kind of shines, because it's got a map mechanic.
Will you quit saying it's shining?
Sorry, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Play Shining in the Dark. Yes, it's just like
yeah,
that.
That's where it shines.
It's a shining game, and yeah, it shines shining. There.
But the map mechanic is really cool, because it's like the first quest you get is just to map the first floor, and there's so many tools and you know ways that you can label what's on the map so that you know what you're coming back for and that kind of thing. And you can label what's like where you can camp and different things like that. And it's for this type of game where it's all based on a labyrinth and it's all first person, mapping is necessary in a lot of cases if the dungeons are complicated.
Right.
And these are complicated. So the map mechanic is necessary, and they did it really, really well. You can put memos on spaces, you can, you know, label where doors are, label why they're locked and how, you know, how to unlock them. You know, warn your, basically label about enemies that are too hard for you to take on, that kind of shit. So really, really interesting the way they did that. And, it's really weird that one of the things that makes me want to play this game is the ability to map, to actually draw out the maps. I know it might sound boring, but some people are into
that. That sounds terrible. I'm sorry. Yeah,
You know, some people are into it, and I am. I mean, that's Phantasy Star, the original Phantasy Star. I actually still have a notebook of graph paper with all of the dungeons mapped out.
Really?
It's just something I kind of enjoy.
I remember, you know? I did that once.
What game
was
that?
It was for King's Quest V when King Ram had to go through the desert, and like you had to like map your way to the oasis, and it was just trial and error.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, that was the only time I've ever had to do that. And I still feel like a dork for doing that.
Well, now all the dork tools are built in, so...
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was really fun. But at its core, it is a turn-based RPG straight up. And right. Difficulty is pretty good. You know, I have gotten my butt kicked a couple times, you know, so they keep you on your toes. So that's good, too. But, yeah, I think that is about it for me this week. A couple of new games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I need to, one shout out to Navishin. I haven't played Alan Wake yet, man, but as soon as I finish Enslaved, it's on my list, just so you know.
You're going to like that. It's fun.
I hope so.
I mean, it's a good 6-7 hour quick burn, and I'd like to see you beat Dead Space, too.
Eventually, dude. Hey, I can't buy games for the rest of the year, so hopefully I'll get to some of these backlog games.
Well, there's not very many, you know, big games anymore, so I mean, I'm not going to buy anything else, really.
Yeah.
I think I'm done buying games. I mean, I have a lot. I still have Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare to beat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, finally,
For some reason, I thought that was DLC. I didn't even realize that was a retail release.
Well, it's both. It's both. It's DLC and a retail release.
It started as DLC and then moved to a retail release.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, and other gaming news. Black Friday. Did you guys get anything?
Dude, I worked.
You worked. Right. Nico, anything for you? Did you...
No, I napped.
You napped. On my way home from work, I stopped at GameStop. They had a deal. I really wanted the sexy slim console, but for what I needed... The 4 gig was not enough, so I was gonna have to spend more than $199, and over $200 was my limit. So, GameStop had a sweet little deal, refurb. So it'll red ring. That's the first thing Jeff said when I told him I got a new Xbox. It'll red ring again. Thanks, Dick. Thank you very much.
Hey, he's just trying to keep it real, man.
Oh, he is keeping it real. But anyway, refurb 360, the HDMI version, $90.
Okay.
$90.
That's not bad. That's not bad for $90.
I went ahead and threw on a, I'm getting Rock Band 3 this Christmas when my folks give it to Megatron and I. So that 20 gig hard drive is already full. And there's no way I can put, you know, everything on there. So we're just going to go ahead and, I went ahead and bought the 120. Gig hard drive, and I think that was nice. Like $60. So, $150. I got a new Xbox, and you know, it's a refurb, but you know, whatever. It's just gonna last me like 3 or 4 years.
That's cool, man. Yeah, the price on those are actually really low because I went in and looked at them over the week, like last week when I was on vacation, and there were. They were like $100 for a used console, and I was like, "Wow, that's really cheap." So, if mine dies, I don't know. I'll try and get Microsoft to replace it, and if they don't, then I'll probably just go to EB and try and get an HDMI version like you did, because I really want an HDMI console. That's one of the reasons I want mine to die.
Yeah.
But they had a ton of them. I was surprised at how many they had. You know, at least the EB that I went into. I don't know about the one you went to.
Right. Hmm. Right. So, well, I'm holding off any game purchases until Cyber Monday. Then I'm going to really like buy some backlog games, because there's a few games that I want to get that are going to be really cheap. Like, I want to get the Saboteur.
Forgot about that game.
Yeah, there's no way I was going to pay 60 clams for that.
No way. No.
That's way too many Halo credits for fucking you know, that's not. But I'll spend $15-$20 for it. Easy.
Yeah. Easy, Amazon had Need for Speed and Fallout New Vegas.
Like $35.
$35.
Oh my god.
I was kicking myself. I was like, why did all this shit happen to me right like this month? It's like now I mean these games $70, $10 more than the retail price of one of them, and I could have had both. And I was like, ah man, it was killing me.
You know who had the hot deal? Toys R Us. They were what's up, man. Buy any EA Sports game, you get it for $55, and your next game is $5, no matter what. It's got to be like another EA Sports game. I really wanted to get like FIFA 11 and an MMA.
Oh, and, so it's two EA Sports games for $60, basically?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
That's a damn good deal. Yeah,
it's a damn good deal. And it's 50%
off, baby. That's
all new games.
All for it.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Cool.
So. But anyway, yeah, so when you're listening to this, if you didn't buy anything, you missed out. But there's always Cyber Monday. So if you're listening to it on this on release day, go on Amazon and get you some
Go on Amazon and check some shit out.
Right now. Stop Word. Listening. Pause it. We'll wait for you.
We'll go be buy here something. When you get back.
Hold on. Yeah, just go.
And welcome back.
All right. You welcome back.
Ooh.
Well timed, sir. Mm. You know, guys, I said we were going to skip news, but there's one big thing that happened that I really need to talk
about.
Whoa,
dude, drop it on us.
So, the Uncharted movie, right? You guys are excited. I know you are.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys hear they cast Nathan Drake?
I know.
Mark fucking Wahlberg, baby.
Oh, give it to
Mark
me.
Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake.
This is a midnight release for me, buddy. I will be there. I will camp out just to see this.
That's
and
right.
To top it off, Joe Pesci, De Niro, Bobby De Niro, playing people that are not even in the game? Come on. That is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But actually, in a serious note, you know, did you hear the news about the fucking Funky Bunch?
No.
Yeah, what? Marky Mark and a Funky Bunch. They are literally coming out with a new album. It is coinciding with the release of Uncharted, and they actually have this single, and it's the hottest shit. They already released the name of the track, and we're going to get the song soon. The fucking track is hot. It's called Who
Gives a Shit? Nice! I like that one, Travis. That was good. All right, let's be realistic. This should have been Nathan Fillion. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Nathan Fillion is Nathan Drake.
I'm going to get a little hate. Nathan Fillion would be a good fit. He definitely has the voice and the attitude for it to be Nathan Drake. I'm going to get some hate here. I think physically, based on just how he looks, I think Wahlberg is a better fit visually, aesthetically, than Nathan Fillion. Yes, sorry, I said it. There it is. Take a good look at Nathan Fillion. He does not look like Nathan Drake. I'm sorry. Sorry, nerds on the internet.
I don't know. I think it could easily be done.
And he actually got out of shape. Yeah, he's let himself go. Have you seen Dr. Horrible? He put on some pounds, dude.
Wahlberg's just going to phone it in. Did you see Max Payne?
No, I agree. I'm not saying Mark Wahlberg is going to be good whatsoever. I would love Nathan Fillion as that, you know, he has that wit, he has that charm that Nathan Drake has. And I don't think Mark Wahlberg has that at all. But I got to say, I just don't think Nathan Fillion would have looked the part.
Oh, I think they could have gotten
it. I think he's, yeah. And I think they're both too old, to be honest with you. I think both of them are too old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're both too old. Yeah, absolutely. They could have got a young gun, maybe even a no-name person. Find someone who has some actual talent, but looks the part. I think that would have worked out a little better, but I don't know. But in a video game movie like this, I guess you have to have some sort of name attached to it, right?
They need that star power to get anyone.
Yeah,
to
and I think that's the reason that Mark Wahlberg was picked, but I think Mark Wahlberg sucks anyway.
Yeah.
I really don't like much of anything that he's in.
Yeah, he really should just stop working altogether.
Well, the Will Ferrell comedy was really good, the one that was written by Adam McKay. That was really good.
Which one is that?
The Other Guys? It's not bad. Like,
okay.
Honestly, he has acting chops when it comes to like playing a comedy. And he proves it in that movie. It's not bad. It's not bad. And then Fear is pretty fucking cool. That was a good movie. But other than that, yeah, everything sucks. The Happening, movie of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That
Who watched
was
that? Nobody.
Horrible. That was horrible.
Anyway.
That was the one with the plants, right?
The plants. The plants are killing us.
Yeah.
Say hello to your mother for me. he's ridiculous.
So this is kind of off topic, but Zooey Deschanel was also in that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is something I notice about her. She is really, really good in good movies, and she's really, really bad in bad movies. I think she just knows that a movie's bad, and she doesn't try very hard. Because if you see her in fucking Jim Carrey, Yes Man. Did you see Yes Man?
Yeah.
Funny-ass movie. I don't like Jim Carrey. I hate him. I can't stand him. But that was a good movie, and the interaction between the two of them was really, really good in that movie. But The Happening, she sucked.
Yeah, she was bad. Everybody
She's
sucked
bad.
In that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that entire movie sucked. But, you know,
did you see 500 Days of Summer?
No.
She kind of plays a little bit of a bitch, but she's fantastic in that. Yeah, Zoe. Yeah, but she's fantastic in it.
Yeah, and then I mean, like, what is it, Hitchhiker's Guide? She was really good.
Oh,
and,
yeah, really good. Yeah.
Did you ever see Bridge to Terabithia?
No.
Damn. She was really good in that. She was really, really good in that. But that is a very depressing movie. Just be aware if you go see that movie. All right, that's it. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about things that companies do that make us not want to buy their shit. After that, we'll do new releases, listener email, and we'll see if we have a question of the week for you. So just stay tuned, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up.
All right, mic check, 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos, check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kill me some terrorists. Ain't never going to know what hit him. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
All right, so today we are talking about companies that do shit that, you know, we don't like, and it makes it so we don't feel like we don't want to buy their games. I have a feeling we're going to have a common theme, but we'll see what happens. I'm going to let Travis take it away with some emails.
Do I have to, Dad?
Yes.
All right, why not? All right, the first one comes to us. Let's see. Let's go. Better Tomorrow. Better Tomorrow says, hey, gents, your question is a tough one to answer, but in the end, I think I'll have to say no. This is a tough answer, but in the end, I'll have to make a decision, not for the sake of the greedy publishers who will remain nameless, but for the sake of conversation, we will just call them Activision. I make the decision because if a game captures my interest, I want to support the developers. These guys are the ones who put their sweat, blood, into these games most of the time, and in the end, suffer from a game not selling, most recently Bizarre Creations. Believe me when I say I don't enjoy giving certain publishers my money, but if that's what it takes to try and give some sort of life to some great underdog games, then so be it. On the other side of the token, a publisher who treats their development companies and us gamers with some respect, and it shows some non-business-related enthusiasm in the gaming culture, that in the end, they might just earn my loyalty. Thanks, guys. Better Tomorrow.
All right, so we knew that this was going to come up, right?
Yeah.
That was a given.
Yeah. Ooh, man, you guys might not like my answer. Publishers, okay. I like to feel love for developers. That comes naturally to me. Granted, there are some developers that are make shit that make just shit games. Chances are, as deep as my head is, and the proverbial like apple dunking barrel of video game news, I think I have a good idea of what's good and what's bad. And there's certain games I don't play. Like, I know I'm going to get Call of Duty, and I know I'm going to think it's good. I know I'm going to play Assassin's Creed, and I know I'm going to think it's good. It's just, I'm wired that way. And I know, you know, Ubisoft Montreal are going to make games. So I'm loyal to those specific developers. I don't think publishers... I think people need to get that notion out of their head of being loyal to a publisher. Just get it out of their head. Publishers are not there to be loyal, or to be loyal to the fans. They're there to make the hard business decisions. That's a hard word to say. Decisions. That's what they're there for. You know, they're there to say, okay, we need to make layoffs. Sucks. We got to do it. They're the ones that are the suits. They're your Bobby Kotick. I'm sorry. They're your Bobby Kotick that are sitting there. They're not gamers.
So they're doing layoffs to make ends meet and do business decisions and shit like that. Meanwhile, Activision's got more money than any publisher out there, and they're still laying fuckers off.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that the gamer mentality of being loyal to a publisher needs to stop, because those publishers, 9 times out of 10, even though Activision acts on it,
it's not being loyal to a publisher. It's voting with your dollars and not buying from a publisher because of what they're doing.
That's exactly what I do.
It has nothing to do with being loyal. I'm not loyal to any publisher. I'm loyal to developers. I'm loyal to like smaller indie groups and smaller companies, but I'm not loyal to any publishers. I am, however, against supporting publishers and companies that do things that I consider unethical and that take advantage of consumers and put people out of work at a time of a recession when they don't need to.
Right. No. And those are valid points. And I'm not by any means defending Activision or companies like Activision and what they're doing. But it comes down to it that, you know, they're doing what they deem is necessary. And yeah, it does piss off a lot of people in terms of, you know, people in the media and us, people who usually do spend money on their games. But the thing is, like, voting. Okay, let me get back to the voting for your dollars thing real quick. So me buying Call of Duty, a game that I enjoy and I'm going to put countless hours into, why do I have to get the looks on you? Why do you get Call of Duty games? You're voting with your dollars. You're buying their games of a company that lays off and fires, puts good developers on the streets. Why are you buying their games? Well, I don't buy it for Activision. You know, I buy it because I buy it for me. I'm selfish as shit. I'm buying that game for me. Fuck Activision. I don't care about them. I want to buy a game for me. You know, I won't buy it for the DLC though. That's different though. Like, but you know, I get a lot of shit for not just playing Call of Duty, but like buying it every year, double dipping, shit like that. But I love that game. Like, it's my fucking jam. So, you know, but it's Activision. If it wasn't Activision, this wouldn't be a conversation. But it is Activision, and I get a lot of shit. So why is that? No, they do.
I'm not giving you shit because you're buying it and it's Activision. I give you shit because you buy it every year, and it's the same damn game every year.
Exactly.
No, it's not, because I'm better at it this year.
Okay, what's different about it from last year, though?
It's a better game, so I'm better at it.
It's a better game, so I'm better at it. Okay. So no, basically, you've answered my question with nothing.
Not
a goddamn thing.
I gotta say, it's definitely not the same game.
It's got a new toy in the box.
It does have a new toy in the box. No, I didn't buy that. I thought that was kind of...
My first RC car or some shit.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't explode. What the fuck is that? It does not explode. That's bullshit. I'll sit there and buy their games, but I don't purchase their DLC that they overcharge for.
You know how? Okay, this is the way I get around it for that kind of thing. If Activision made something that I really wanted, I would go buy it used. They are one of the few companies that I would rather give money to EB or GameStop then give money to them.
I did that with the Force Unleashed.
Unleashed. Who published that?
I don't remember. But right before it released, they shut the studio down, the dev studio, I think.
Really?
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
So
I might have to research that, but I remember that being a big topic at the time, and I decided that I would just buy it used whenever I got around to picking it up, and I did.
Right. Okay, so here's the dilly. So what you're saying is you'll buy... Okay, I'll get an Activision game, but I'll buy it used, so Activision doesn't see that, you know, they don't see my money. That'd be your way of, in a way, boycotting that game. Okay, here's the flaw with that mindset, Chris, is that, okay, that's what's going to cause companies like Activision to say, okay, well, our game didn't sell many copies, so guess what? We don't see you as you developers that made this game that didn't sell a lot. You guys are not cutting it. You got to go.
And it's that attitude that makes me not buy their games. So it's an endless
cycle.
Could
they really do that, though, with Treyarch being the only one left?
I was speaking hypothetical, but that's the thing. I've liked Treyarch before I started playing Call of Duty games. Treyarch were the guys that made, in my opinion, great Spider-Man games. And they made my favorite Spider-Man game, Ultimate Spider-Man, on PS2 and Xbox. And I like Treyarch. I was digging on Treyarch well before Call of Duty. I was giving Treyarch props and not hating on Treyarch's Call of Duties when Infinity War was first pushing out the Modern Warfare. I like Treyarch. Guess what? Treyarch's getting my money, without a doubt. And they're going to get my money twice this year because I am getting that game on the 360. Again, I don't care about Activision. I don't care. I will support the developer, though, because I love Treyarch.
That's fine. I'm not against you doing that.
But there's a flaw.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so if Level 5... I'm sorry, not Level 5. If From Software develops a game and Activision published it, I know it's not going to happen, but just hypothetically, you would buy that game used.
I would battle myself on something like that.
But that's the thing. And I'm glad that you at least would have an internal struggle with that.
Well, here's the thing.
Because it lets me know that I'm right, and I appreciate
it. It lets you know you're right.
Go ahead.
It's very easy for me to avoid buying Activision games because I don't like anything they put out.
Respect.
So it's not a problem for me. I don't play first-person shooters, and if I did, I'd probably, lean more towards Halo at this point.
Right.
And Guitar Hero is not nearly as good as Rock Band anymore. Not even close.
No.
Yeah. So, what else do they put out? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Tony Hawk Shred? Maybe I could be number 3002 to buy that game?
Okay. Yeah. Everyone in the damn country agrees with you there. They're like, Tony Hawk still makes games? Really? No.
That's the thing. I mean, my problems with Activision go... And it goes back to the tweet that I read last week. They ship three things in mass quantities: Call of Duty, plastic guitars, and pink slips. Ooh. And that's what it is.
Ouch. They, wow.
Joke's so nice, he said it twice.
They don't care about anything but money. And they don't care about their games being good because all their games suck besides Call of Duty. Call of Duty's the only thing that doesn't suck that they put out, it seems.
What else do they?
All they care about is milking franchises and driving them into the ground. Right. They took Guitar Hero, a franchise that started out great with Harmonix backing it up, and they made the first two games and they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then Harmonix said, "We want to branch out. We want to do something out and act something else. We want to actually have all like full band support." And they said no. So Rock Band went somewhere else.
Right.
And then what did Activision do? Oh, Guitar Hero 4 now has everything.
Right.
Because of the success of Rock Band. It's shit like that. I mean, I could go into some crazy ass detail with all the shit they did with Brutal Legend. I mean, granted, Brutal Legend is not a good game. I'm sure some people like it, but
some
we didn't like it.
Some aspects of the game were very bad.
I liked the first level.
Yeah, I liked the first level too.
The tutorial was great.
But we have to, you have to admit that there are some creative things in there. Right. And the shit that Activision did with that whole mess was ridiculous. Oh, first they're gonna let the developers go, and then they're going to sue EA for picking them up and trying to publish the game.
That was fucked up.
I mean, come on, their business practices are shit, and that's why I will do everything I possibly can to avoid supporting them. Now, if one of my fanboy joy developers decided to put something out under Activision's name, yeah, I would have a battle within myself on whether or not to buy it. But right now, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm going to stick to my guns and say, I'm not buying Activision games because, number one, they don't put out anything I don't want. And number two, I just don't want to support that kind of those kinds of business practices.
Right. I really wish Jeff was here, especially with Bungie's next game being published by Activision. Or Bungie's next game, all their games for the next 10 years, right? Was that how that deal
went? No, there's one franchise for the next that's going to be supported for the next 10 years that they're going to publish.
So that's pretty much all Bungie's doing, that one game, because they pretty much seem like a one-franchise team.
If Halo was any indication.
Yeah, they said that was the case, but they also indicated that there might be another franchise being published by someone else.
Right, right.
But they're going for a new IP, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be Halo. Well, they can't do Halo. Halo's owned by Microsoft.
Yeah, it's all micro.
So Microsoft has to publish that. But, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, let's move on. Mr. Nepp, he's going to touch on a couple of more things and a lot of the same stuff we talked about with Activision. So he says, straight to the point, my response is no. When it comes to the negative spectrum, I honestly don't care if a company is being a bunch of douchebags. To be specific, you might think I own several Activision games, but I actually don't own any. The simple reason is I don't care about the games they release. I don't judge Activision by their ethics, but by their games. Besides the Spider-Man games, I don't have any interest in what they make at all, and those Spider-Man games are just rentals for me. He says, however, though I did love the shit out of Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, but that'll be an eventual buy for me. On the flip side, if I see a company pumping out free DLC, patching their games, making new IPs, etc., I am most definitely influenced by that. When a company is taking a risk and they treat their companies well, I most definitely consider picking up games I'm only half interested in. It definitely helps me make purchasing decisions easier. For example, Atlas took a risk with Demon's Souls, a risk that Sony had first right of refusal and refused. Not only that, but they've already extended the online feature and have had pure white or pure black tendency events. And that's made me buy the game for the, not first, not second, but the third time. He says he has one Asian copy and two U.S. copies. I could throw out more examples, but I think I got my point across. Thank you for your time, Mr. Nepp. Oot! I like how you brought up the Demon's Souls thing with Sony refusing it and then Atlas putting it out. That's something that, going back to Brutal Legend, that's what I wish would have happened with Brutal Legend. I thought that would have been cool to see, okay, well, Tim Schafer, they felt like they kind of got screwed. They're the underdog. You know, EA picks them up and they make a game that sells a million copies. And it just sucks that it didn't happen that way. it's sad. So.
Yeah, I really, really wanted to like Brutal Legend. I was really sad that I didn't.
The presentation was really good, too.
Oh, I loved it.
It was legitimately funny.
It was funny. The acting was pretty good, you know? So,
but what they did in terms of, like, you know, spouting that demo, I'm interested in this game. And then
that was the most deceptive demo ever.
Ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Ever.
Seriously.
I agree.
That tricked me into pre-ordering it. And
yeah, me too.
And... Oh, why did they do that?
I know. It was crazy. It was crazy. He also, you know, brought up, Nepp brought up a lot of things that we kind of touched up on, Activision got brought up, but that's not, you know, the games that they offer are not his bag.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's exactly what I said too.
That's similar to you. But if you like those games, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's a bad game. And I do like, you know, not judging and it's just hard to not judge someone by the ethical choices they make, whether they're business or not, and just say, okay, I'm judging them by the games. Like, that's a slippery slope. It just depends on what happens. I guess it just depends on how beloved the person that's getting screwed. Because, you know, you look at, I was big on a lot of 1UP editors. I'm a big fan of like Chris Roper when he was with IGN, and when people like that I really like and respect get laid off, people who I think are worth they're worth their weight behind that company, and them to get let go so people can keep on less talented and people that they don't pay as much, that takes me off and stuff like that. Like, I, after the last two or three waves of 1UP layoffs. I've stopped going to that site. They were my number two site behind IGN in terms of like news that I went to before I like discovered like the blog system, you know, blogs like, you know, Destructoid, Joystick and everything. When I went to like full blown gaming websites, they were number two behind IGN. And I cannot tell you the last time I went and saw 1UP since all that, you know, stuff with Ziv.
All that shit went down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that pisses me off. Yeah. That pisses me off.
I don't go to Kotaku anymore because, well, because they basically they cut my ability to comment off.
Right.
And I sent them emails twice asking why they did it, and I never got a response, so I just don't go there anymore.
Yeah. And this is not a McElroy thing. I really dig Joystick. I love the way each and every person on that team writes. Even the Xbox 360 fanboy guys, all great writers. There's a lot of life in their stuff. And anyone from that Joystick team, anyone gets laid off, would piss me off to no end because they're all quality writers. So, you know.
Yeah, I go to the ones I go to the most right now are Joystick and Destructoid. Destructoid, I don't really pay much attention to. I just kind of like browse their headlines. But every once in a while, they have something that's pretty funny. So.
Yeah, I go to Destructoid a lot as well, too. So let's move on to our final email. He says, "Hey, Indus guys, this is Ronak for the first time emailing you from VG Evo here to answer the question of the week.
What's that?
Do ethical choices made by companies make you not want to buy their games or products? The answer is yes. While corporate buyouts and massive layoffs don't affect my purchasing, CEOs and stupid decisions do. I have yet to buy an Activision game this gen, an achievement I'm quite proud of. Their games don't usually interest me that much, and because of the demonic spawn that runs the company. While it isn't putting a dent in their sales, I like to think that I'm making a difference. Another company that has just recently started to piss me off is Ninja Theory. I love Devil May Cry.
What?
Yeah.
I see. I know where he's going with this.
I love Devil May Cry, my second favorite series behind Metal Gear. And when I saw the DMC trailer, my heart imploded. Wow, that's deep.
That's
it just sucked itself inside his... Anyway, a super fast, stylish Japanese game getting outsourced to a Western developer who can barely handle the God of War combat, then rebooting and giving it a horrible redesign. Yep, feels like Bionic Commando all over again. And reading what the Ninja Theory director thinks of Bayonetta and Devil May Cry aren't making the situation much better. Heavenly Sword I bought. It was average, but I didn't play Enslaved just out of spite. And Enslaved isn't selling great. He underlined that. Enslaved isn't selling great. So I am making small but real differences. Smiley face. I don't buy things from companies that piss me off. Luckily, there aren't much, as I can only really think of two. Anyways, awesome show, yada, yada, yada. Sorry if it took so long. Whatever. I'm in nerd rage mode right now. So it's time to go to the Ninja Theory fan forums and troll.
Oh, damn.
Wow. First of all, thank you for writing, since that's your first time writing into us. Awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't say I agree with a lot of what you said, buddy. Ninja Theory. Let's start with them.
I definitely agree that I'm not really sure how I feel about the direction they're going with DMC.
Yeah, totally.
And
I think it looks pretty fucking cool. I'm sorry.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think it looks hot.
Really? I don't know. It just looks like
it's dirty
emo
and gritty. It's awesome. He looks like he has like mascara on.
Exactly. It's emo. Come on.
He's a video game character.
And it's emo.
And you haven't seen one scene.
Come on, it looks really like Jeff from Innisfest. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it does kind of look like Jeff.
That's a good point.
Can somebody, okay, real quick, listeners, can somebody that's really good at Photoshop Jeff's face?
Is that supposed to be Dante? Yeah, it's supposed to be Dante.
Yeah,
right?
Put it on Dante. I need someone to do that. I need someone to do that really, really bad.
Lisa, on it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, get on
I'd
that.
To see it.
That would be hilarious. I'm just kidding. That'll be my new desktop.
Nah.
Yeah.
Shit you not.
So with Ninja Theory, okay, the DMC stuff, I can see where there's a lot of hate because that's total, like, aesthetically, complete departure from what.
Yeah, it's like a complete 180.
Yeah,
on their,
yeah, it's completely
on their
different
character design.
But Heavenly Sword, I can see where you can feel that's an average game, but not playing a spiritual successor just out of spite, I'd have to say you're missing out on a decent game.
I would agree. I think Enslaved is a pretty good game.
You're selling yourself short.
I want to say that, you know, I picked up Heavenly Sword, you know, for $20 on some sale quite a while back. And I played it, and the boss battles in it, you know, were extremely frustrating, which, you know, is shared by many other people that have played the game.
Right. Yeah.
So to me, it didn't live up to, you know, maybe whatever they were trying to achieve. I don't think they were trying to match it, you know, up to like God of War or anything like that. But it did have somewhat similar gameplay with a couple tweaks here and there. I mean, the cinematic aspect of it was great.
Yeah,
you know, I think that was awesome. And, you know, even with the, you know, because I don't really support the change to Devil May Cry either. You know, pretty much to the point where, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on it because it's obviously still very, very early in its production. I don't even know if they've started production yet. But, you know, I will keep an eye on it. And if it's still continues to go in this route, yeah, I probably won't pick it up just because it seems that not only with the design, you know, of the character and the environments and all that, you know, it seems like they'll probably change up a lot of the gameplay as well, which, you know, I found the old Devil May Cry games to be a lot of fun to play in addition to having that kind of spunky, you know, egotistical badass that was Dante, you know. And I mean, everyone keeps saying like, oh, you're just pissed because he doesn't have white hair or whatever. And it's like, no, he really looks like he got out of, you know, some big homo game bang or something and decided to color his hair black so they wouldn't find him or something like that. I don't know. But it did not grab me. I am not on board with it right now. So, you know, I may skip it. But, you know, if they are able to do something with the game to entice me enough, then I'll probably pick it up, you know, in all honesty. But that's definitely going to have to be a wait and see kind of deal with Devil May Cry.
I will give it a chance because I like the series, but, you know, I want a demo.
It has to have a demo.
You'll get one.
And it has to be a good demo. Because, I mean, this will lead me into talking about Enslaved. When I checked out the demo for Enslaved, I was bored off my ass.
What?
I was like, yeah. True story.
What?
I can see that.
I thought, come on, let's be honest, I don't have to do anything. I have to press forward and press jump and attack a couple times.
Yeah, and that's it. I'll be honest with you. I agree with you 100% on that.
Okay, I can say that on a scale of gameplay, but games aren't just about gameplay now. If this was a side scroller like platformer, you know, a plane running a mill, and it was just okay, well, I'm just running and jumping. It's like I'm playing Mario. It's not really nothing special.
Right.
I can get that. But this game is so much. Okay, we all know it's a Ninja Theory game. You know, gameplay is going to kind of take a little bit of a backseat to presentation and graphics. And have to expect that, and you're going to have to expect that for this game coming up too. And when you put that total package all together, that demo was amazing.
I don't think that it's necessarily the gameplay takes a back seat. I think they just made it too easy. There's no risk. I mean, it's like when you're doing the platforming, you can't screw up the platforming.
Yeah. I mean, once I discovered I could not run off the edge in any way, shape, or form, and that the only way I was going to traverse, you know, some open space was just simply by jumping in the right direction, you know, the game lost.
Look for the shiny.
Yeah, exactly. It was no. I couldn't get behind it. I was like, this is so damn boring. Is it over yet? You know,
I will say that I did not mind that because I was in it. I was involved in that game more for the cinematic aspect anyway.
Right.
And the combat does remind me of like Beyond Good and Evil and that kind of thing. And I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. So even though it's like very simplistic and that kind of thing, it's still very cinematic and fun to play. And, you know, it only takes a couple times when you're fighting a big, you know, a group of baddies and you get down to that last one and you take a swing at it and it does like the cinematic, like that move around with the camera, the slow motion. It's like,
that shit's awesome.
And just rips it in half. It only takes a couple of those before you're like, badass.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then they should have found
put
some
that
way
in the
to
demo.
Implement that into the demo. Exactly. Yeah.
It was.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that it was. Well, there you could have gotten it. I'm not sure if I'm not. I don't remember ever.
It's
seeing
random.
It in
There's
the
nothing
demo.
You can do to trigger it. It's just random. But it does happen in the demo.
Well, no. I think it happens as long as you're doing a light attack, and the light attack is the last attack against the last enemy that you're engaged with.
Right. Okay.
That's how it works. I think.
Sure.
And I'm not sure. I don't remember if I ever saw it on the demo, but I would think it would be there in the demo. It's just that it's the last enemy you fight, and you have to use a light attack to finish it, not a heavy attack.
I see.
So it's kind of weird the way it works. But
well, either way, I mean that either goes into, you know, when someone's done with that demo, they're going to think one of two things: either the game as a whole sucks, or they put out a shitty demo. And when it comes to spending $60, they're probably going to go more the route of the game sucks, so I'm not going to pick it up. Now, this is not geared any way towards Ninja Theory as the dev team. I mean, the game just didn't really have anything to entice me to want to pick it up. Maybe I'll pick it up later down the road, you know, on the cheap or something. But I mean, The only stipulations I have with Ninja Theory right now is just what they may or may not be doing with Devil May Cry. But that's, you know, that's something we'll have to wait and see. And that has nothing to do with Enslaved. It's just, you know, that kind of falls more into, you know, will a demo make or break a game? You know, but that's a topic for another day.
And, like, 24 hours before that DMC trailer came out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't remember. I don't remember seeing people like holding up the Devil May Cry series as like the sacred, like in the character of Dante as like the sacred video game staple. Like this is, I know there's a lot of people. There's got to be thousands of people that, you know, find Devil May Cry as like, you know, one of their favorite games or maybe even their favorite game. So I'm not in no position to say no one says DMC is like their favorite game ever. But this is something that kind of aggravates me. I've never felt, and I like the Devil May Cry games, but I've never felt that that's a series that is, it's always been hit or miss with people to me. This is what I read. And it's never been like, it's not one-sided. Like, there's not people who are like, oh my god, Dante's like my favorite character. DMC's like the best. Like, I'm sure one or two people, out and about in the main streets, like they do feel that once in a while. But I just feel that post DMC Ninja Theory trailer release, then people were like, oh my god, I suddenly love Devil May Cry and Dante. Heresy, you know, it just kind of felt like that. It felt that the hate towards DMC was a little forced. Now, I'm sure some people were actually offended by it because they really do like Dante and they really do like DMC, and to venture away from that character in such a way that Ninja Theory seems to be doing. Keyword seems. He could still act almost the exact same way.
Right, yeah.
We don't know.
It's totally a wait and see.
So it's definitely wait and see. So I think the hate is premature. I think the hate is premature, and I also think it's a little too extreme.
I do think there's reason to be worried, though.
Oh, especially with a reboot? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I do think that there's – I think that the worry is justified.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to jump any – I'm not going to, you know, jump on any bandwagons yet until I play it.
Oh, no, there's no hate there. If someone told me tomorrow that Metal Gear Solid is getting a complete reboot, Hideo Kojima has nothing to do with it, I'd
be
like –
Would you
be worried? I'd be like, what? Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that.
Exactly.
I wouldn't hate on it, but I'd be seriously concerned. Seriously concerned. But yeah, I would buy it day one. Because I'm a sucker. Even if it was published by Activision, day one purchase. I'd buy two of them. Double dip.
I can understand his you know, not liking Ninja Theory. I can understand his reasoning.
Yeah.
But, you know, Enslaved is a really good cinematic experience. That's the way I'm going to say it. I've really, really enjoyed it.
I'm going to go as far as saying it's a good game, period. I don't think the gameplay is bad.
No.
You know,
I don't think it is either. It's just
easy. There are some issues. There are camera issues. I mean, if you get into a fight and you are like kind of like against the wall, good luck with that camera.
Yeah, I ran into that a couple times.
There's some serious issues with that. And yeah, you know, a guy hitting you up against you're up against a ledge, and you know you actually should be falling, but and a monster's wailing on you, and you're not moving back towards the edge. Yeah, it kind of takes.
You're hitting the invisible wall.
Yeah, you're hitting an invisible wall, and you're not falling off. It does kind of take away. Now, granted, if you fell off that, you know, constantly, because there's a lot of places in that game where they're like it's nothing but balcony with no rails, and you will die a lot. So, granted, that game would be fucking broken, especially Chris in the later levels. There's a lot of high up fighting. And that game would be broken with all the fighting you do without, you know, guardrails. It's pretty bad, yeah. But I by no means think, even all around gameplay included, would say it's a bad game.
Yeah. Did you think that the comments with Bionic Commando were...
I think that...
Bionic Commando was not great. It was not great. It was not. I would not even call it good. It was an average game.
Well, I mean, he was relating that as you know, that seems to be what he personally thinks will happen to Devil May Cry.
Well, I can understand that because Bionic Commando was you know, everyone remembers the its classicness as greatness. Yeah. And, you know, the remake in Bionic Commando Rearmed was fantastic. So, you know, there was reason to be excited about a new retail game.
Oh, yeah. It got me excited for the 3D one.
And it was, you know, it was not what we wanted it to be. So I understand the analogy. I don't think it's – I'm really hoping it's not that extreme.
You know? I hope so, too.
So,
I mean, my heart has not imploded. But, you know, my eyebrows are definitely raised, and, you know, I'm just going to have to see what they end up doing with it.
Yeah.
And if they fuck it up, I got a pen and a pad for you. I got a thank you letter.
Write you a letter, that's right.
Ready for you.
Thank you for, well, no, don't. No.
Well, do you guys have any other companies that that you kind of steer away from?
For me, it's mostly... I you know, I'm going to have to admit it's Activision as well, but I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Chris. You know, they don't really make too much that I really, well, give a shit about. You know, I played Call of Duty 4, and
yeah, me too.
I played that quite a bit. I didn't prestige, but I got almost there, and it was fun. It was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was after? World at War came out. I was like, all right, I've had, you know, I played the World War II games. I'm kind of done with that. So I skipped that one. And then Modern Warfare 2 came out. And to me, it looked like, all right, it's Call of Duty 4, you know, with maybe a couple other tweaks to it. So to me, it just seems over the years they just keep pumping out the same game. You know, I mean, I'm literally waiting for them to just put Call of Duty and then whatever year it is on it. You know, just like Madden.
Call Seriously. Of Duty 2011.
Exactly. That is what I'm waiting for next year. Call of Duty 2011. Write it down. It's going to happen. But, I mean, right. there's that in Guitar Hero. And while anyone with two brain cells to rub together knows that Rock Band is a much better game than Guitar Hero. So, there's that in a nutshell. I mean, do they really make anything else that would even remotely entice someone? Or is it just a bunch of other bullshit games?
The only game that they've made recently that I've been halfway interested in was Prototype. And I was much more enticed by Infamous anyways. I thought Infamous was just a better looking, and it seemed like it was a better playing game,
period. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, it's still in the cards for me to play Prototype at one point or another, but, you know, it's not, I mean, yeah, I already know that Infamous is a better game, so it's not really that big of a deal, but that's it for me. Travis, you have any others? Any other comments?
Man, I'm gonna say a lot of shit. I'm gonna get some hate. I'm gonna get some hate mail this week. Mainly this gen, I would be more apt to stay away from Nintendo games.
Okay. Give me some more.
Okay. Like on the Nintendo tip.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Okay, yeah, I want to know why.
There are a few games that I think are gimmies. They're going to be gimmies. Galaxy, pretty much anything with Super Mario, you're getting an A+ experience. But other than that, kind of want to stay away from everything else. Like, okay, Epic Yarn, kind of on my radar. Let me get all the stuff that I would be interested in out of the way first. But like, Donkey Kong, no interest.
Yeah, not really here.
No interest. That character, it's got nothing for me. Let me change this wording up. It's a Wii thing. A Wii thing, not
Are
Nintendo.
You anti-waggle, or you just don't like the Wii in general?
I do like the Wii because I like the virtual console. Because there's no waggle on there.
Right, exactly.
I'm not digging a lot of the stuff. Like, I wanted to get NBA Jam when it came out. There's fucking waggle in NBA Jam.
And there's no online.
What?
Or at least
there's no online. They put, yes, well, Chris, I mean, they put waggle in NBA Jam.
That's
fucked
up.
Well, no, it does. Well, does it have online? Actually, now I'm kind of...
I think it does, actually.
I think it does. But I mean, it's...
But it's got to be limited.
Either way, the Wii has shitty friend codes. Fuck
yeah.
Noise.
Well, yeah. But on top of that, just staying on the game, you know, subject, like it's right. not like there's there are games that would legitimately interest me. Mm-hmm. Legitimately interest me, like Metroid. There's a Metroid game coming out. Okay, I'm interested. We're going to make the key focus of this game using the Wiimote. No, thank you. Turns me off. And you know what? I said, it's Metroid. I won't play it anyway. I played it. Didn't like it. Why? Because I don't like pointing the camera. I mean, pointing the Wiimote at the screen when I'm playing. If I'm playing a whole bunch of mini games, if I'm playing Wii Sports or any type of like PlayStation Move type game, yeah, I'm going to... I expect to be pointing this shit at that screen all diggity goddamn day long. But if I'm playing fucking Metroid, I don't want to fucking do that. Don't want to do it. Out of spite, when I'm playing Mario Galaxy, when I'm flying through the air, I don't shine my fucking Wiimote on the screen and try to get star bits because I just can't stand it.
That was kind of annoying for me as well.
I don't like
it. I agree with you there.
I don't like it.
See, I don't mind that so much.
No, I don't like it. It's like you're still shaking that stick around like you're a fucking retard. And it's aggravating.
That's true. I felt the same way when I was playing Zelda.
That's why
I'm so worried about Skyward Sword. Because yes, Skyward Sword is... Oh, God. I'm so glad it was delayed because it needs a lot of work.
I know people were saluting it during E3, but...
They were saluting it because it's fucking Nintendo. That's why they were saluting
it.
Yeah. It's like, have you listened... Do you listen to the Noobketeers?
Yeah, I do.
I know you do.
They're my buds.
Nico,
no,
do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't. Sorry.
Well, I mean, because, you know, at E3, I got to... I got to play it, and Brittany played it at E3 as well, and she was saying all of the frustrations that I had with Skyward Sword 2. It's just, it's not accurate enough, because it's all about motion tracking and not about position tracking, and that's the problem. That's the biggest problem with it. So, you know, whereas Zelda with one-to-one motion is a great concept, I just don't think this is going to work out.
I will kiss Miyamoto on his 106-year-old lips if that son of a bitch would put in the option to use a pro controller.
Dude, I just
want a classic.
I want a classic controller. I want a sequel to Link to the Past. I want that. I old want school. Overhead back. I want old school overhead back. Yeah. Well, I want you to do it well.
Why wouldn't they do that? Look at
3D Dot Game Heroes. Look how well it. Yes. I mean,
I hope that kicks someone in the ass.
A niche title, it did pretty damn well.
Keep this on the Nintendo tip. How many fucking copies did they sell of New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii?
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
They took
and the DS too.
Yeah. Well, but still on the console, they took Galaxy, which sold plenty. They got plenty of their money back off of that, both of those titles, Galaxy 1 and 2. But they still threw another side scroller on the way. Yeah, retail.
Right.
Retail. There's four Mario side scrollers on the VC. I'm sure those sold gangbusters. Mm-hmm. Two Galaxy 3D ones. And then a side scroller. So, yeah, where's that Zelda love? Where's that love, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish they would do it.
That would get
me back up on that train.
Yeah.
The worst part about it is, like, they kind of tried to do it on the DS with the Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah.
But they put those fucking gimmicks in it. It's like, I don't want to be restricted to a train in the overworld. I don't want to have to sail around on a fucking boat. It takes too long. Let me walk around in the overworld and kill shit and grab rupees and buy stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I want out of my Zelda game. It's like, I don't want to sail. It's boring. I'm sorry, everyone loves Wind Waker. I thought Wind Waker was just a snore fest.
Snooze fest.
Whatever.
Big time.
I never played that one.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
But I got to say, my favorite one is actually Ocarina of Time. And I know I might get a little bit of...
Fuck that game.
I can see that. Believe it or not, I actually liked Twilight Princess better. But I think it's only because I have I had a bad taste in my mouth about Ocarina of Time because the water dungeon just took me forever.
Yeah.
It drove me so insane.
I'm not saying it doesn't have its slow points. I'm just saying overall, out of all the Zelda games that I've played, Ocarina of Time is definitely my favorite. It's the only Zelda game I've actually played through to completion multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, see, so I mean, that could be
a lot of nostalgia talking, but you know, that's just the way it is for me.
No, I hear you. That's a lot of people's that came out in that time where you know people were really getting into gaming, and like it's got to me. Ocarina of Time's in the same boat as Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. It's held in such high regard because it was a lot of people's first blockbuster game.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of, you know, and like for me, you know, Final Fantasy VI is my favorite Final Fantasy period.
Yeah.
And you know, that came out years before.
You are not alone on that one either.
Yeah. And just that wasn't, I mean, that was my first Final Fantasy, but it was just one of my favorites. And I think that was the same way because a lot of people, you know, a lot of old school people were really digging on that Link to the Past, man. That Link to the Past is hot.
Yeah.
And
well, I picked it up when I first purchased my Wii. I picked up Link to the Past. And I played a little bit of it because I'd actually never played it before because, you know, growing up, I had a Genesis. I didn't have a Super Nintendo.
Right.
So I knew I wanted to pick that up, and like Super Metroid, and all, you know, all the NES games that I kind of missed out on.
Those fuckers hold up too, man.
But I mean, I played them all a little bit, and then, you know, just like any other, you know, average gamer, you know, I get ADD and get distracted by some other new title that came out that's all nice and flashy and shiny and shit.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to say, playing 3D.Game Heroes this year has definitely enticed me more to go back to A Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, really encouraged my desire to want to, you know, play it all the way through to the end.
Right.
And I'm sure I will do that at some point. I just don't know when.
All right. So now that we're over the Zelda cast.
Yeah, for real.
Travis, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I'm good, man. Let's. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna throw one more thing out there. I used to be this way about Microsoft. I'm not so much anymore, just because I don't see them doing a lot of things that I hated in the past. I mean, I'm kind of bitter about the whole Vista and Windows 7 thing. That was kind of shitty the way they did that, but you know, it's I'm kind of over it. So, I also used to be this way about EA, and EA, you know, we've talked about this before. They just changed a lot of things that were going on over there, and they, you know, they made me believe in their product, and I have no problem buying EA games anymore.
They're an ethical seesaw, man. Like
they really are.
They go back and forth.
But you gotta give them props now. I mean, they were at least willing to take risks, you know, with like Dead Space and Mirror's Edge.
That was the thing. They were taking some risks, and I think they paid off. You know, you've got Dead Space, and Dead Space was a high quality game. Sequel's coming out. Mirror's Edge was kind of a niche title that there's several people that really liked, and you know, others that thought it was, you know, a little too much for them. But they I think there is a sequel coming out for that as well.
Yeah. So, and EA was also behind Criterion's DLC plan for Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, with all that free DLC,
which is
Criterion,
very surprising for a really, really big corporate company.
Absolutely, like especially with a game like Burnout Paradise, which they know they could say, you know, put $5 on that, and you get a ton of shit. But no, they did free DLC like crazy, and it paid off for them because when, you know, they did all that free DLC, and then when they released the second island and priced it at like $20, everybody jumped on it. It's like, well, shit, I've had all this free content. Might as well jump on something now, you know?
Why not throw them a buck right now?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem paying 19 or whatever it was for that. The one company that, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this too, because this is kind of something that, that got brought up at IndusFest and Scott kind of mentioned it.
I love that guy.
I have really started to stray. I mean, I you know, we joke around about Apple versus Android and all this other crap, but just recently, I've really started to not like the way Apple is presenting themselves to the public. I think they've gone, their egos are through the roof. I think that, you know, some of the things that have been said about, like, when everyone was having all the reception problems from the iPhone 4, and there was actually the email that got sent out by Steve Jobs that said, don't hold it that way. I'm like, really? That's your answer? It's like, just don't answer him. Just don't answer him. That would look better than saying that kind of shit. And, you know, when they did like a teardown of the iPad, and they found that the 3G radio that they charge $140 for costs like $20 to put in there. It's like, why not just put it in? Why not just give it to people? I mean, these people are buying your product. They're paying $500 for this, you know, Wi-Fi 16 gig only iPad. Just give them the 3G. Why not? You're making $300 off of a $500 product.
They're taking advice off of Microsoft. They did with the 360 and all the other accessories you got to add to it.
Well, no, the 360 they sold for a loss. You know, Microsoft did that right. So, I mean, granted, the system was built like a piece of shit, but you know, they were selling it for a loss. And in a world where hardware is sold as cheap as you can, so you can get software sales, they're making $300+ on something, and they can't even throw in a $20 piece of equipment. They have to charge you $140 for it. You know, I So that's kind of what's gotten me about it. And I never had a problem with, like, I think the iPhone is a great product. I will not lie about that. I think it is a fantastic product. Mm-hmm. It's not for me because I have so many different things that I use. This is another discussion that I have with Scott today. I use so many different Google products. It just makes sense for me to have an Android phone. You know, I don't have anything that's Apple, and that's not because I don't want anything that's Apple. It's just that I just don't. You know, I've never downloaded anything off of iTunes because they had all the DRM in the past, and granted, all that's gone, but you know, now I just buy my stuff off of Amazon and that's it. So, you know, up until the whole fiasco with the iPhone 4 and its reception problem and the iPad pricing and all that, I mean, I didn't have any problem with Apple, but now I'm really starting to, you know, I just don't, I think they need to, you know, get off of their high horse for a second and actually, you know, they know people are going to flock to them.
Get off your Segway, nerdo. Get your shit right.
You know, you know people are going to flock to you. Don't take advantage. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. I think Apple is taking advantage of the fact that they know that people are going to flock to their shiny products. And that's what's going on.
Yeah.
The iPad is fucking sexy, though.
It is, but I don't think it's $500 sexy.
I don't know.
Of course, I don't think.
People are with you on that.
Of course, I don't think that like the new Android tablet that came out, the Galaxy Tab or whatever the hell it is. I don't think that's worth the money that they're asking for it either.
Meh. I didn't even know that existed.
It's a nice. It's got more like function and more hardware than the iPad does, but they're also charging like $100 more for it than the iPad. But
word? Right. Really?
Yeah, but really? Well, the lowest, it's $100 more than the lowest price iPad. However, it's got 3G in it and it's got two cameras and all that stuff. So, it's $100 more, but if you want the lowest price iPad with 3G, then that becomes $40 more than what the Galaxy Tab is. But the Galaxy Tab also has a smaller screen, so there's all this back and forth. But either way, you can still go out and you can get a netbook that flips around and works as a tablet as well for less than the lowest price iPad. So I just don't see the logic in any tablet device right now. So that's just my
Yeah, I don't think we've had a need for a device like that, at least at this
really?
Time.
All those, you know, really, really good, cheap iPhone games, and you wouldn't want to play that on an iPad?
No. Not on an iPad, maybe on a iPod Touch. Like, really? I consider getting an iPod Touch because I have my Droid and I'm very happy with my Droid.
If money's not an option, you're saying you have no interest in what the iPad has to offer?
I would say if I had, yeah.
What does the iPad have to offer? It's a big iPod Touch.
Exactly.
I would love to lay in bed every night and watch Netflix streaming on my iPad before I go to bed. A couple of Arrested Developments or Family Guys, and then go to sleep. That would be great. I would love that.
So why not? Why would you not do it on a netbook instead?
Not on a netbook? Because I don't want to have a laptop on my lap. I'd like to hold up a tablet.
What's the difference?
Tablet's much smaller.
No, it's not.
And it doesn't open like a fucking laptop.
Get a tablet netbook that flips around and you can hold it like a tablet.
Yeah, there's actually one that's
cheaper than an iPad.
Prize I was looking at.
But does it run iOS apps?
No, it runs everything that Windows has.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that existed.
and see that's what I'm getting at. There's such an Apple following that doesn't know other items are out there. They just want the shiny product that Apple puts out. And I think that Apple takes advantage of those people. And that's why I'm not a big fan of how they do things.
I feel you.
So if you do your research and you still want to go with an Apple product, I support that.
Yeah,
but
go for it.
I still think that they take advantage of the average Joe consumer.
So
that's my story.
Getting back to the developer talk for just one second, I'd like to throw one more out there.
Uh-oh.
And this is actually something that this last year is kind of it just kind of dawned on me. And you know, I got to say that I don't know how many more titles from Square Enix I'm going to support.
Oh, ma'am.
That's a good one.
I mean,
That is a good
Seriously,
one.
I know there's, you know, fans out there of Final Fantasy 13, but they, man.
But that game is trash. Let's,
to me,
not,
yeah, to
it's
me
not
that
trash.
Game is
it's just not. It's
garbage.
Average. It's a mediocre game.
Oh,
best.
It's barely average to me. I mean,
yeah, that shit sucks to me, man. I think that is a pile of garbage. I'm sorry.
I was excited to play that. But I was not excited to play
Sorry,
it until,
Scott, I'm trying, dude.
until I had it in my hand and I was putting it in the PS3. That's the only time I actually got excited to play it. I did not have any of the hype or anything leading up to it. And I know that, you know, that game took a long time to develop. But after probably the first hour or so, I was bored. I was ready to play something else. And luckily I had God of War 2 weeks later, and I was able to have that distract me. And then when I was done with that, then all I had left was Final Fantasy, and I, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is that they, I don't think that their games are the quality that they used to be, and they're still they're still making them seem like they are. There's exceptions to the rule, of course, but
I think they're stuck trying to find out what their new identity is going to be. Like, I think they're struggling to accept the fact that, you know, Western game development is taking over, and they are still, you know, having games with giggly, you know, 12-year-old girls jumping all over the place, and it's just not something that people want to see anymore. It's not a trope of gaming that people are being drawn to. It's just aggravating.
This is less of an issue about ethics, though. You know, I mean, this is more of an issue about preferences and shit like that. The only thing that
it's
I don't like about the way
decisions. Yeah,
you're right.
Either way you
you're
look
right.
at it.
It
so yeah, I think it is applicable.
Well, I mean, part of it was the fact that they got rid of Sakaguchi, right? And I have learned recently, since I just recently picked up a 360, that I've become quite a fan of Mistwalker. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with them, but their two big titles are Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey.
Lost Odyssey, yeah.
And I haven't played too much Lost Odyssey yet, but I'm about 40 hours into Blue Dragon, and I absolutely love it.
Really?
And
So I'm about four or five hours into Blue Dragon. I think it's kind of boring.
Really?
It's super traditional.
Yeah,
People who dig Dragon's Quest will dig Blue Dragon because there's a lot.
Oh, see, that's the thing, because I love Dragon Quest, but for some reason I just don't. Yeah, I just don't like Blue Dragon for some reason.
Okay, well there you go.
And that's funny because I can't. I mean, I have Dragon Quest 8, and mind you, I've only played maybe 4 hours of it myself, but I can't get into that game, and I don't have a DS, so I can't really speak on, you know, Dragon Quest 9 or anything. But yeah, I mean, once I got past like the first hour of Blue Dragon, when once you actually get the shadows and you start developing your abilities and everything, then I just got sucked in, and I think it has a lot of charm to it. And I mean, if anyone's played a boss fight in there, they know that some of the music can definitely be pretty wild and zany and
annoying as hell.
Well, to some it may be annoying, but actually, Amy's over here every weekend, and she's watching me play it, and we always look forward to a boss fight because we always just rock out to that music. We think it's great. I mean, we're literally playing it in the car and shit. I mean, it's awesome. But
you make me
sad.
You make me sad, man.
Geeks.
Oh yeah, we're definitely
the one thing that I don't like about what Square Enix has been doing lately is their DS games have a Square tax on them. It's like they're the only company.
I definitely
that charges,
don't appreciate that.
They're the only company that charges $40 for a DS game. Even Nintendo's games are $35, and they charge $40 for theirs. And I just think that's kind of shitty. You know, it's like, hey, here's Chrono Trigger. It's basically a port. With a few extra things. It's a port with a few extra things, and we're going to charge you $40 for it.
We'll give you a dungeon.
Yeah. We'll give you one dungeon and $40. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But,
yes, please.
But I mean, it's just, I don't know. It seems because the last time I really, really enjoyed a Final Fantasy game was Final Fantasy IX.
Woot.
And
Yeah, and all, I'm with you on that.
That's my favorite 3D one.
I know people are going to give me shit for saying this, but I did not like 10. I hated 10. I actually liked X2 more, even though, you know, there's all that, you know, the J-pop and the dress me up crap, you know, but it was still fun because even though they may have fashioned
Crystal loves
it in,
you for that, by the way. I you know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I read her tweets and stuff. But, you know, if you can put the dress up J-pop shit aside, then it's actually a really fun game. And it actually does the job system really, really well.
Yeah. And that's why she liked it so much, because it was simple and the job system worked really well.
Exactly. And I mean, it was a very fluid battle system in my mind. I mean, it was very easy to switch from one to the other. You know, use that ability for a little while and then go in, you know, just move seamlessly throughout the battle all the way to the end. Right. And I can kind of see that in 13. I just really don't like how they did it this time. I'm not saying that everyone should be throwing dresses on and shit, but, you know, they definitely could have.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Well, maybe.
Everybody's doing it.
Especially in bubble wrap.
Right? This is a true statement.
But yeah, right. I mean,
we're running pretty long, guys. Let's wrap this up.
All right, cool.
Square Enix sucks.
Okay, yeah, that gets my vote. Let's do it.
Cool. Any last minute comments?
No, I think I've talked long enough.
Awesome. Well, then let's hear from our friend Repeat.
All right, let's see my boy Big Pete.
There's not too much coming out next week, but we are getting Super Meat Boy again for the PC this time. So this will add a bunch of extra characters to it, and probably some extra levels at some point. And it's also getting a level editor, but I don't think it's coming until like January. So yeah, that'll be good whenever
Super
it comes
Boy.
Out. All right, onto games that are actually new. Now we got Dead Nation coming out on PSN. This is your top-down zombie shooter from Housemarque.
Yep.
And
A plus.
Disney's Epic Mickey's coming out for the Wii, so that could be interesting.
Epic Monkey.
And finally, there's Golden Epic Sun Monkey. Dark Dawn for the DS, although... yeah,
is that next week?
Like a mediocre RPG to me. And that Pete is Tips. Pretty much it.
Thank you, Pete.
All right.
I'm trying to confirm what he just said. I don't see it. Oh, well. I'll take his word for it, because he said Golden Sun, but I don't see it.
Golden Sun.
Anyway, Golden Sun RPG for DS. I'll fill in the gaps. There's really not many to fill in. Deadliest Catch is coming out for PS3, as well as Nailed. I haven't heard much about that. 360 is also getting Deadliest Catch and Nailed, but they're getting John Daly's Pro Stroke Golf as well.
I hope
Epic Mickey is the big title for Wii next week. It's also getting Chevrolet Camaro, Sniper Elite, Deadliest Catch, Sea of Chaos, and Hello Kitty Seasons, Travis's pick of the week. And let's see. DS is also getting Seven Wonders 2. I have no idea what that is. But, so that is your new release list. What do you guys think? Pick of the week?
That's tough.
Epic.
Because
Mickey
really
was
loved.
On the frickin' a real console, I would be all over it.
To me, Mickey looked like a PSN XBLA title.
It just doesn't. Yeah. I just don't think it looks good.
Yeah.
Like, I think the art style is good, but as a game, it doesn't look very.
I only like the Steamboat Willie level. That was the only one.
The side scrolling stuff looks great.
Yeah,
I can dig that. You know, I really, really dig that. I don't know. On paper, Epic Mickey is, you know, more to my liking. I'm more suited to play that more than anything. But realistically, I'm probably gonna wait till that's a $20 title.
Okay,
I might have to wait till it gets lower than that.
I really don't know. I mean, it's a toss up for me. It's either Epic Mickey or Golden. Actually, you know what? Get Super Meat Boy on PC. Double dip.
There you go.
That's my pick of the week.
Yeah, I'm actually torn between Super Meat Boy and Dead Nation, actually, because
Super Meat Boy.
I'm I'm all, I mean, I know my review's not up yet with Dead Rising 2, but I assure you I do like the zombie genre.
And Tay Zombies.
Yes, Tay Zombies with Tay shotgun to the face.
Or chainsaws attached to an oar.
Yeah, exactly. that part was fun. But I do love Super Meat Boy on the 360. I'm not sure how well it would implement with like a keyboard. I mean, that you definitely
probably wouldn't do it well at all. You would have to get a pad for that.
Yeah. So with that stipulation, go Super Meat Boy. Otherwise, I'd go Dead Nation. I think my pick of the week will be Dead Nation, just because I already have Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Word up. Zombies.
All right, dude. Let's get some emails going.
All right. Since we're running along, we're going to do one and one. We're going to do one VM, one regular mail. How about that? Because I'm ready to go to bed. I'm tired. Let's see. Starting off, let's see. Greetings, gentlemen. Says Chris's boy, Lollipantsu. I've been wondering, now that the cornhole, a.k.a. beanbag toss, is confirmed as a minigame within Kinect's game party, has Kinect become more appealing to any of you guys, specifically Chris?
No.
Cornhole. Dude. Cornhole.
No.
No.
Sorry. Kinect is not even on my radar right now. Until they have something that actually looks like it works well and is fun and might have some sort of hardcore use in the future, I'm not interested right now. So,
I fully agree. Yeah.
Cornhole is a game that you play outside with friends while drinking lots of beer. It doesn't work on Kinect.
Agreed.
You would need to move Kinect outside anyway to be able to play it.
It's funny you said that. I think a game like Cornhole would work better on the PlayStation Move.
Why?
I think it would just based on the tech it uses, I think it would work better.
Do you think it'd just be more accurate than the Kinect?
Yeah, I think it'd be more. If bocce ball in games like that are any indication of how the game would work, you know, physics based, I would say that Move would be better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I am still not convinced. I mean, on Kinect at all. I mean, I was one of those people that saw it when we were at the Deuce and we went, you know, we had that little trip to Best Buy.
To the BB, yeah.
Yeah. And when I was watching that, I was like, this doesn't even, it didn't even look like a finished product to me. Like,
I was not enjoying myself.
Oh, it looked like it still needed to have some work done to it. I mean, it was not tracking movements very well. And even when it was doing it very, very slowly. And I was just blown away. I'm like, wow, they're actually, this is out in retailers and they're charging a lot of money for it and people are buying it. That's the craziest part.
It just blows my mind. And I was really, and I'm kind of calling him out and he's not even here, but like Jeff was totally digging it. And I'm sitting here like, are we watching the same screen? Like, I don't see
where you're finding
why you're enjoying this. This is amazing. Yeah. Look what it's doing. I'm like, dude, your legs are doing like a kick step and you're standing still. It's not working. Like it's fucking flawed. It's not working right.
I went to the bathroom and that was more fun than watching the seriously. At least it was accurate.
Right. There you go. Yeah. 1-to-1 right there, right?
Yeah.
1-to-1.
You betcha.
Okay, this is getting a little too
uncomfortable.
Random for me.
Let's keep going.
It's time for another edition of
Ooh, Jacob's Creek. Straight from Australia.
What?
I'm gonna give me a drum. You can tell it's really cheap because it's only from 2009. But it's all good because I'm going to get drunk off this wine. Yeah.
Random questions.
Travis, was that you?
Yeah. Hey, guys. What's going on? It's been a little bit too long.
Hey, Aces.
It's been probably 2 weeks since I've actually sent in questions.
You have your own podcast now, though. I understand.
Sorry. Yeah, that's bad on my part. The question this week
is...
Don't
let it happen again.
Do you know how to use chopsticks? And if you do, do you remember how long it took you to learn? Thanks, guys.
That's pretty... Chopsticks, that's second nature for me.
Yeah, I can really? I can work chopsticks, no problem.
I just picked them up, yeah.
You just picked them up.
Was it hard to pick up?
No. Just, I saw someone using it next to me, and I used it. I don't know. I used it. It worked.
It took me two or three times to get it, but then again, I don't use chopsticks like most other people use chopsticks. So.
Wait, what? What, are you catching flies or something?
Yes, like, I am catching flies. Very large ones, though.
But I don't understand what you're trying to say. You don't use them like a normal person?
I don't hold them the way most people hold them.
Explain. Like, I'm confused.
Okay, so I can't really explain it without showing you, without actually having chopsticks in my hand.
Okay.
But I actually...
You hold them in between your flip-off finger, right?
No, I actually have both the chopsticks pressed up against my my middle and my ring finger. This is bad for radio, dude. I can't
You're
do
like
this.
A freak of nature, Chris. That's nature, odd. Right?
I know. I have a freak of nature. And you're making a big deal out of nothing, so let's keep going.
Well, here, I won't hold this one for the mailbag. I'll actually pull this one out. Let's see here. We haven't done this question in a while. We've done it before since I've been on the show, since I took over for Jason. But we'll go ahead and do it again because it's probably like a once in every 6 month type of deal. Hey, Indus. This is Strider2K99. I've been listening to the podcast for some months now, and this is my first time writing in. I have to say I love the show, and it's one of the more down-to-earth podcasts out there. Thank you. Now on to my question. I have been wondering, what are the origins of your online handles? Sorry if this question has been asked before. Keep up the great work. You guys are to awesomes.
Oh, yeah. He sent this one in a while back, and we held on to it because it was something we had explained several times in the past. But we can go through it really quick. Who wants to go first?
Mine's easy. Mine is named after an episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Hmm. That's right. I mean, you told me that. Mine is actually derived from a character that I really liked using in the original Sokoden. Sorry, three sucks. One and two are better.
Fuck you.
His name was actually Shiro, and I changed it to Shino, and that's how I got my my main handle. The other handles that I use, like Shinomitsu and Shinobishi, are Shino with Mitsubishi tacked on the end. So. Mitsu or Bishi tacked on the end. So that's how that happened.
That just happened.
Yeah, I guess that leaves me. Well, to those who don't know, my handle is Project 2501. And that originated a long, long time ago once I saw the... If anyone watches Japanese anime, one of my favorite Japanese anime movie is Ghost in the Shell. Okay. And one of the main characters in there doesn't actually have a real name. They just simply refer to them as Project 2501. And because of the fact that they were kind of born in the internet, I thought that would be kind of a cool way to label myself, since a lot of the people I was speaking with, you know, had never met me face to face. So I just kind of made the relation there, and that's how my handle was born. And I've been using it ever since.
Cool. All right.
And of course, Jeff, if you just for Strider's sake, Jeff's is just kind of a play on his name, right? Was there any special backstory or aside
goofy.
From the fact that it's just
he's goofy.
Goofy Goffy.
Goofy Goffy, yes, exactly.
There you go.
Ooh.
But that's it. That's all we got. We're going to hold everything else. We have a voicemail from Necro, but we're going to hold it for when we're not running very long.
Good idea.
Yep.
Oh, it's getting to that time of the year when we have to start doing all of our obligatory questions of the week. So let's start out with this week. Question of the week. Tell us about what gaming loot or whatever electronic or whatever loot you got on Black Friday. So what loot did you get on Black Friday? You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 706-760-4337.
Slightly, but it's not.
You can also follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, Indus Geoff, Indus Pro, and Indus Rody.
That's me.
Did I get everybody?
R-O-A-D-I-E.
We have a Facebook group that we don't update very much, and that's Interactive Distractions Podcast. And yeah, and Cast Medium, check us out over there too.
Yeah.
And I think that's about it for a wrap up. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
Not for me. Just thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Absolutely, thanks for coming.
Man. Thanks for coming. We'll do this again. It sounds like our schedules are going to coincide a little bit more often now that you're getting a job that, you know. Well, are your hours going to be the same or no?
They're going to be more daytime, you know, quote unquote normal hours for the first few weeks. But I actually will be going back to working my normal night shifts.
Oh, well, fuck you then. All right.
But, you know, if you guys want me back on, maybe I can make some arrangements, you know, free up some time to, you know, grace
some
you guys of that, with my
some personal time. Sacrifice some
perhaps,
PT.
Perhaps. You know, it's all
we'll
about
it
the business. Yes,
we'll
exactly.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening to the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review.
Yeah.
And go check us out on VG Evo, too. I always forget to mention VG Evo, but they've housed us for 3 years now, and we love them. So go check out VGEvo.com and our forums over there. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm not Jeff. I'm Nico.
And
I'm not
Nico.
Jeff. You should have just left it at that. And I'm not Jeff. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week. Oh.